Hi, my name is Allison Mead, and welcome to What She Said, an episode of the LA FPI's podcast series. The Los Angeles Female Playwrights Initiative is dedicated to encouraging and promoting the work of female playwrights. And today I'm going to be speaking with Sheila Callahan, whose play Everything You Touch is playing at the Boston Court Performing Arts Center in Pasadena. Sheila's plays have been produced and developed with Soho Rep, Playwrights Horizons, South Coast Repertory, Clubbed Thumb, The Lark, Actors Theater of Louisville, New George's, Woolly Mammoth, and Rattlestick Playwrights Theater, among others. She's the recipient of the Princess Grace Award for Emerging Writers, a Jerome Fellowship from Playwrights Center in Minneapolis, a McDowell Residency, a Cherry Lane Mentorship Fellowship, the Susan Smith Blackburn Award, and the prestigious Whiting Award. Her plays have been produced internationally in New Zealand, Australia, Norway, Germany, Portugal, and the Czech Republic. And she's taught playwriting at Columbia University, the University of Rochester, the College of New Jersey, Florida State University, and Spalding University. So welcome, Sheila.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Everything You Touch takes place in the world of fashion, which serves to highlight a number of different themes. So just to begin, I wondered kind of what that world seemed like such a rich territory for exploring your characters.
Well, honestly, I'm kind of, I follow fashion the way some people follow sports, like from my couch with like a donut in my hand. so I'm not a participant, but I'm sort of an adherent in a way. And so I had all of this kind of useless information about the fashion world and bouncing around my head, and I was compelled by it in a way that was a little bit larger than a passing interest, and I wanted to kind of explore why. And so I figured the best way to do that would be kind of like to dump the psychic runoff of my interest into a play, because this is just basically whatever I'm obsessed with at the time seems like a good place to start for working on new stuff. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Victor, one of your characters, is a fashion designer, and we follow him through the 1970s, where mm-hmm. he uses Esme as both his model and muse. So what about also the time period of the 70s that seemed to capture this turning point for him as a character?
Well, for me, the fashion world at that point was still a little amorphous because we didn't have sort of the mass media that we have. And so there was more room for auteurs because there just wasn't as many people out there making, designing on a large level. And everybody else, like, it was either you hit it big or you failed and you were miserable and poor and starving. And there wasn't the kind of in-between place that we have now because of the rise of street fashion and fashion bloggers. And people still kind of needed to be told what to wear. It was a lot more insular. Like, we could watch runway shows right now, like very high-profile runway shows on the Internet now. But back then, it was about the press kind of knighting a superstar and rising them to the top. And so there was not a lot of room for, you know, for failure. And so that to me seemed like kind of fertile ground for the exploration of what it means to be an artist and what it means to succeed, you know. And also the idea of the fusion between commerce and art is always really interesting to me.
Absolutely. So, we also see how ruthlessly the fashion world can treat women and everything you touch. So and you even use models as living furniture kind of throughout through the narrative. So Esme is one such casualty, as Victor kind of rejects her for another character, as is Jess, who's of a size that fashion won't even consider. So how did the world that you created help to get at some of these issues?
Well, as a woman, you know, a lot of these issues are mine, and they're my struggle to kind of, you know, to reconcile my feminist identity with my need to be appreciated for my physicality. I mean, I feel like we're just socialized to, you know, be non-threatening and pleasing to the eye so that we can have people pay attention to us more. But at the same time, that's not really my ethical, moral goal in the world. It's certainly not my artistic goal in the world. And so I'm constantly battling these two sides, which might be a symptom of my generation, because I don't know that younger women these days have the same issues. I mean, I'm sure they have similar issues, but since they're, you know, there's different models out there now than there were when I was growing up. But this is my struggle, and so that's kind of the struggle of both of those characters in the play. Mm. And I feel like even though the main character kind of has to do this transformative act she comes to some place that feels like it's at least the start of a new conversation about herself and the world. So hopefully, I think it's a pretty sad play, but with humor. But hopefully, it comes out in a positive, uplifting light about like our fate as ladies who get looked at in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, maybe slightly off topic, but I think it's germane because it's in the world that you're creating and you're working with. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like fashion has changed since the 70s, and how do you feel it either helps or harms women today?
Well, I think women have a lot more autonomy when it comes to their own individual style. Like, I feel like since there's just so much more out there, like I had said before, the rise of the street bloggers, this idea of the fusion of high glamour and low street. Sure. You know, you'd take a vintage piece, and then you'd take a designer brand piece. You can mix them together, and so it's about communicating yourself through the way you choose to attire yourself versus kind of the brands you ascribe to. So it feels like it could be potentially a little bit more individualistic. I also think that, I feel like at least fashion was a lot more feminine in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And women wore clothes approachable. And then in the 80s, it was all about the power suit, you know, women trying to dress more like men in order to get ahead. And I feel like and in the 90s was like the stripping down of all of that, you know, and you had grunge girls and you had punk rock making its way into mainstream clothing and chicks being like, who gives a shit, you know, we're going to wear Doc Martens and flower dresses. We're going to, you know, really confuse the hell out of you. And now I feel like in this age, we can kind of just choose which versions of those we want to be at any given moment. So you can wear, like, a soft feminine thing one day, and then you can wear, like, big shoulder pads the next day. And it's like it's communicating more of an internal state rather than it is communicating a sense of identity. And that, to me, is exciting because then you're sort of always shifting the way people perceive you, which
right.
I think, you know, I think is interesting for anybody.
And maybe word.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, the title of your piece also comes from a song that Jess and Esme sing. I don't know the tune because I haven't actually seen it yet.
Yeah.
Everything you touch, but nothing you notice. So that seems very, very vibrant to me as a couplet. How does that underscore their connection in the narrative without giving too much of it away?
Well, so the song mentions a bunch of things like the hair in your brush, the ink in your side, your pen, the hook on your umbrella. So it's about being useful but not being seen. And so just the idea of being overlooked even though your hand is actually touching the object.
Right.
And I feel like the women in this play, all three of the women in this play, deal with issues of visibility versus invisibility and their value regarding that. Like, how can you be valuable if you aren't seen? And so, I mean, I think that each woman in the play, because there's three women, come to a different conclusion about that. But that's the theme of the play. And their connection is obviously, I won't give it away, because there's a little bit of a mystery baked into the play about the identity of about the main character's mother. But anyway, so how she connects with her mother and what choices she makes that her mother wasn't able to make based on that.
Absolutely. And I do encourage people listening to go check out the play because I don't want to give that mystery away and I want to make sure that people are tantalized and not necessarily spoon-fed all the information of the play. But lastly, I always like to ask people what they're working on next and what we might be able to look forward to in the future.
Well, this play, hopefully with Jessica Kubzanski at the helm, is moving to Rattlestick in New York in the winter of next year. And then I have a play opening up at Yale Rep in 2015 called Elevada, and that's in the spring. And then in the fall, I have a play going up at Woolly Mammoth in Washington, D.C., called Women Laughing Alone with Salad, based on the internet meme. And if anybody who has Showtime wants to check out the show I write for, it's called Shameless.
Oh, I'm very familiar with Shameless. Fantastic. I was not aware of that. Okay, great. Yeah, I would encourage people to check out Shameless, too. Way
yes,
better than the British original. I would like that.
I like
personally.
It. Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today. And
that was great.
Okay.
I, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. I hope people like the play.
Absolutely. Everything You Touch has been extended at the Boston Court Performing Arts Center and will run through May 18th. It's directed by Jessica Kubzanski and features Allegra Rose Edwards, Amy French, Chelsea Fryer, Arthur Kang, Candace Lamb, Kate Marr, Tyler Pierce, and Kristen Van Ness. For more information about tickets, go to www.bostoncourt.com or call the box office at 626-683-6883. For more information about LAFPI's resources, activities, and opportunities, please visit www.lafpi.com.